Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to bless the name of the Lord for all His goodness and His blessings. I'm so thankful to the Lord for bringing me here and meeting you in good health and in faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it is not in vain that we are different. It's not in vain that we are separate from the mainstream. There must be a consolation waiting for us someday. Amen.
Amen.
I bring greetings from the church in Lagos. We call Life Assurance Tabernacle in Ikeja, just 7 minutes drive from the international airport. The saints have sent their greetings to you all, and especially to Brother Gan and his family, because of the dark moments that trailed between December and last week. We trust that the Lord, who is the great comforter, has done his work. Amen.
Amen.
And my wife, Sister Nice, and the three kids that we have, Navila, she's 9 years, Matt Paul is 5, and I have an 11-month-old daughter, she's called Ligo. Amen. So they're all sending their greetings to this fellowship, and the saints in India also, they have asked me to extend their warm regards too, to this church. And a lot has happened in the past 5 years. I was here 6 years ago, but I don't think I ministered here in the church. I only visited, but I had a testimony time at the house fellowship. And it was a nice time then. And a lot of things had happened from that particular time to this present moment. But in all, the name of the Lord has been glorified. We've seen many battles, we've encountered many challenges and confrontations, but there is nothing like patience or faith in as a tangible thing. If one will pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, I just give me some buckets of patience," I think you wait all your lifetime, you won't get it. But if you ask for that, then it's going to bring some form of trials.
That's
he will
right.
Just call off the... You know the devil is a servant of God. I hope you know that. Amen. He said, "Excuse me, come on. Give him something to make him patient." And then he comes right on and then gives you the challenge.
Yes.
And then be sure that he gives you... The Lord is going to give you the grace to go through it.
Right.
You know... I used to be a young soldier. I've loved to be in the army all my life, because I happen to be from the minority part of the country, and we own the wealth that is whatever is making Nigeria today is the petroleum, the oil, and it comes from my place, but we've not even seen it. And so the British gave the power to the North and gave the guns to them too. So one government after the other, just toppling. And so I thought about it. I said, while I was growing, I was speaking to some of these, because the military school got burnt, and then they brought some of the military students to school with us in a secular school. So the discussion, you know, they talk about their father's visit to a war site and all those stuff. So it moved me. And then I went to apply without the consent of my father. And I got somebody to forge his signature. And then one day he was called up that, "We appreciate you for sending your son to the college, to military college." And he said, what do you mean? Before he got there, everything, it was closed. So, and then he asked me, "Look, so if you've done this, you're on your own." And really, I wanted to be on my own. I had my way. But... along the line, there was this fear all the time. I never wanted God to interfere. I never wanted Him to interfere in my life. But I used to have this some of this fear that there's something drawing me somewhere. And the military really fashioned me to be very hard, and I never said sorry to any man, and I look at people who easily forgive people as being weak. So it was a good time going for me then, until that fateful day. I won't say all of that because you have it in the testimony there. So that fateful day, things just turned, and from that moment, God has helped us not to look back. I was with the Oneness denomination. In fact, that church, the Oneness Church, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, is actually controlled by my family. We are a royal home. We come from a royal family. If you type Nice, Bishop Nice, it might not reflect me, to reflect another pastor in the U.S. He's actually my daddy's youngest brother. And when I left that church, by revelation, it caused a lot of problems. We only settled last year. We started talking because he's the big guy, so I had to look for a way to make peace with him, because in fact, after the death of my father, he barred me from getting access to my father's compound somehow. And I thought about it and said, it's better to just settle with him. He told me, look, I can claim all of this. And I said, for the things you can claim, I don't have any problem. But the conflict between us is faith, and there cannot be two truths. So, and I feel that the light, I'm bearing that light. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for all that he has done. And we also thank Prophetic Revelation, this assembly, for the support to have us in the field. There are so many spirits we've encountered, so many tribes, so many things. And it is to your credit, because you may not be there out there in the field, but if you've prayed, right, if you've extended hands, if you've desired, then you've won a soul. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, this morning, I wanted to sing a song, but I'll do that right in the evening. Amen. So I'm postponing it. We have a song for our a mixed crowd this morning. Some brothers are attending for the first time. Amen. To just have fellowship. We'll have more people in the evening coming. So I'll have to be in between. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because if I have to speak on the things that I have to speak on, then some people will not be carried along. Amen.
Right.
So every meeting we attend, the purpose is to be blessed by his word. Amen.
Amen.
We've got so great testimonies in India. The church was really needing the God's visitation, and we were blessed. Amen.
Amen.
I got, first of all, the sign I got was from Dubai Airport. I got there, the plane was already boarding, and I knew I couldn't make it. And because I was even on standby, so I went straight and I asked to be booked on the next flight. They did, and I stepped out, and I was led to go back. And I asked them, and I said, you see, there were people waiting for me to have a meeting this afternoon. So I need a compensation. Ask. And you shall be given. Amen. So, and the young man didn't know what to do. He was saying, no, but it's not our fault. And then an officer came and said, what's the problem? So I explained. He said, oh, you don't treat a customer that way. So he said, you wait. He did something and said, sign here. And I always want to read what I'm signing so that I will not sign my dead wife. So I read and I said, okay. Is this real? He said, yes, it's real. I signed. What was it? He said, 1 year return ticket to India, anytime I want to use it, between now and February 2012. So I took it, I said, maybe they're just asking me, just say, let's just beg this black man to go away. So when I got to India, I actually went to the Emirates office and I said, I want to claim this. They said, oh, this is here. You have to finish this trip so that you don't mix it up. When you finish this trip, get to Lagos, you will claim it and just set the date. So with that, we are planning for a convention in India between the months of October and November. I was not able to go to Delhi, but there were a lot of sick brothers and sisters. They called even some in the hospital to be prayed for. And the Lord was faithful. Amen. He's been blessing us this way, in this through this gift. Amen. So we have some healings and notable deliverance. And then those who were not willing to fellowship, because we must find a ground upon which we agree so that we can move forward. So you can't criticize somebody from afar. Get to know the person. Maybe it's just a hearsay. Amen. So that convention will be a blessing, I believe. So that will be in the month of October. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we thank the Lord for all He has done. This morning, I just want to share to us briefly the subject I call the light bearer. Because I said, when I had this confrontation with my uncle, I told him, well, I believe I'm bearing the light. So we want to trace who are these people who bear the actual light of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, which is the Word of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just want us to open our Bibles. Job chapter 38. Just two verses will do, 18 and 19. Job 38, 18 and 19. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where life dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Amen. The Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. Before I go to the body of the subject, I would like to say this. I don't know if Brother Veremu told you that here when he came. We say this back home. There are three things you must try to avoid as believers. Amen. And the first is, I wrote it down here, three things that you must try to avoid. The first is, don't be absent. Don't stay away from church or fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
All meetings are not the same.
Amen.
If we finish this morning, the anointing of this time is used up. And the one we're going to have in the evening, the one you're going to have in the fellowship, in the house fellowship, definitely, God is not a familiar spirit. So you can't be familiar to Him.
Yes.
So each time He comes, there must be somebody He's touching. There must be some new things you get. Even if we're going to say the same thing over and over and over again, the Lord is still speaking to you. Amen.
Amen.
So there was a man who was late to, in fact, he was absent. He didn't even come. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ in John chapter 20 from verse 19, Jesus appeared in the house where the apostles were hiding, and Thomas was not there. And He breathed on them and told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whoever sins that you retain will stay. And the Bible says Thomas was not there. He was absent. The second thing is, don't be late fellowship. For example, if the mayor of the city or maybe the president invites you, and you'll be even 1 hour early.
Yeah, sure. True.
Because you can see him. But that's just a bag of dust that will fall off one day and everything is out. Amen.
Amen.
And you, if you don't walk well, you and that president will be standing side by side facing God's judgment. Amen.
Right.
So there's one greater than the president tonight or this morning, and that is our Creator. Amen. Amen. So, if Sapphira was in fellowship with the husband at the right time, and they asked the husband, is this how much you sold this and that? And he said, yes, and he fell and died. Well, do you think she will lie?
No.
She wouldn't want to lie. She will just confess, I surrender, and give up. But she came dancing 3 hours late. Amen. Just coming up, singing praises, coming, and just at the door. Is this how much you people sold this land that you offered unto the Lord? Oh, yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how much we've sold that. And then she died also. Amen. The last is, don't sleep in the church. Amen. It's very dangerous. And when it's bad time now, amen, you heard of Eutychus, he slept in the church while Paul was preaching, and he died. And Paul went down and brought him up. If you fall here, we'll just bury you. Amen. Because I'm not Paul. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, on a more serious note, let us keep these things. Brother Brown was saying once, he said, one little sign of the Holy Ghost is that you are there before the door is open. We should be conscious of His presence. Conscious of Him. He watches, He hears us, He's around us.
Amen.
There is no break time in a Christian life. Amen. So back to the Word. The Bible tells us about Lucifer. And the meaning of Lucifer is the light bearer, the carrier of the light. He is called the morning star. Amen. And he was created by God and fashioned in that wonderful way. There was nothing like that. When you look at the creation of Lucifer, one could get confused why God had to pour so much virtue in one being. The Bible says he was perfect in beauty. And he was complete in everything. And if the Bible says he bore the light, what light was he carrying? It tells us that Lucifer was carrying the word of God. That is, the angels were seeing him, and he will give them, thus says the Lord. So as long as he carried this message, he was in a straight line. He could look at God eyeball to eyeball. That is, he was in faith. As long as he could say, thus says the Lord, whatever he hears, whatever the command was, he was passing it down to these angels and the army of God. And they were moving that way. Then one day he decided, he thought within himself. Now, God didn't wait for him to begin to act. The Bible says, until iniquity was found in him. He detected it right from the moment it came. Because God is the Father of all spirits. Amen.
Amen.
There is nothing that can appear in the world if God does not allow.
Right.
There is no condition that can befall mankind or the earth if God had not allowed it to be so. So when people try to say, maybe this happened and God is quiet, does he not know? Sometimes we pray and act as if we are trying to explain our situation to God. Maybe he doesn't know. Or sometimes we want to take some certain decisions and then we pretend as if we can keep God away from our decision. Oh, Lord, I don't want to involve you in this. Let us just do it. Keep your voice calm so that you wouldn't hear. So just go ahead, do this thing and get on. But you know, there is no way in the secret place where you are thinking from, even in your sleep, when you are not active, God is watching. God hears. He is everything. He is the reason why you think. He is the reason why you move. He is the reason why you stand. He is the reason why you are weak. So he detected the foul play that appeared, the iniquity that surfaced in Lucifer. Now he had allowed this to be so because
He wanted to manifest something. Now in eternity, there was nothing else than the great spirit of the eternal spirit. There was nothing else. But he wanted to express himself, and part of his program was the appearing of Lucifer. Yes. Now he appeared and reigned in the angelic setting. He reigned and was coming up very well until the purpose of God in his life came to pass. Because if we look at it, that Judas was a son of perdition. Who made him a son of perdition? It cannot be that Judas decided within himself. Because if you look at the apostles of Jesus Christ, the one that looked close to betraying Jesus would have been Peter. Because he was too forward, and all the time he was very fast in doing things. So he could have wanted to take the advantage of the powers that Jesus had, seeing that he could disappear sometimes. He'd done it two or three times. So let's play games with these people. Let's just sell him off and then he'll disappear. And then we gave him to you. But why didn't you keep him? But because Judas was a son of perdition, it was tagged on him. Even before the foundation of the world was laid, he had to go that way. Yes. Children come together in school, they play. But when school closes, they could still play at home around the recreation centers. But at night, every child returns back to his mother.
Right.
Amen. So, Lucifer, he was the light bearer, bearing the word of God. And we must take examples from this. Now, as long as you are carrying the light, you cannot be stagnant. When you are carrying the light, because light travels, light does not stay in a place. It's always on the move. So, when you carry the light of God, you'll be moving. But immediately the light leaves you, you are in darkness, you can't see where you are going, you will stand, you will wait. So it says there in where we read, show me the way where light is. But as for darkness, I want to know the place. Darkness is in a place, but light is in a way. And Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
Amen. So we find out that when we receive the message of the seventh church angel, it was light to us that will help us to make a move, to keep moving. Because this light was let down from the time that John the Baptist came. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you must remember that before John, they never had such a message.
Right.
Now, when Jesus came, he did not start a different ministry from that of John. He continued from where John stopped. Because John said it laudably, he said, that I may decrease for you to increase. So, that continued. It was a straight line that you can draw. And then after that, Jesus let down these things to the apostles. And then it continued until this time that we are here. That Brother Brown came. And then it will not stop. Because if it does stop, then there is darkness.
Right.
So, many, having received this truth, and they ran a while, and they suddenly say, let's think about it, let's consider. And they just want to stop. That stopping, God has moved a million miles away because he's in the light. Amen.
Amen.
You know, back home, we respond when we preach. You only talk when you eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, I'm on the line. Now, there is this thing I want to show you, if I would like to show it on the board.
Yeah.
Now, after the cross of Jesus Christ, we find out that before the cross and after the cross, there is this break. The law and the prophet continued until John, not until the cross. It continued until John. And from the time of John, we can call that also a breach. Now, we find it that before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, John appeared on the scene. And by prophecy, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, he was to point Israel to their Messiah. And then, the language that was used in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, in the third, in the last statement was, "Be Israel, Judah, behold thy God." Amen. Now, when John came, actually, he did that when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world." Now, because when you see the word, if we pray and say, "Oh Lord, bring down your glory," do we pray that? Sometimes we ask, "Oh Lord, I want to see your glory." Now, if you see God's glory with these eyes, you can run mad. Amen. You will jump into the railway road and rail and be crushed because you can't stand it. So, but he will, he had to, you know, put it in a package and present it to the people. And when he did that, they were still confused. They could not understand. They are trying to see something bogus. So John pointed the Messiah and he went to the cross, and immediately after that, something happened. This time that Sapphira died and Ananias, this time that Peter, John stood by the gate, the beautiful gate, and lifted up the lame man, that particular period was not the first church age. That wasn't the efficient church. Amen. It was, we call it the early church, but actually it was the era of the Holy Ghost, where Christ was working through the apostles himself. Amen. And there was perfection. There was, everything was straight and complete the way God wanted it. Now, in the first church age, in the Ephesian church, we find there was a fallout. When Paul, when the angel said, "Thou hast left thy first love." So, if they have left the first love, it means that the love was not complete. And half love is no love. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we find out that as the age ran its course, and we came to the seventh church, where Brother Abraham came, immediately he finished his ministry. If people receive the ministry of Brother Abraham and get stopped by standing in one place, they have encountered tradition. And God is not in tradition. Mm-hmm. So we find out that we do draw this. If it's the one of the triangle you draw, after the pyramid, the big pyramid, there is a space before the small pyramid, isn't so? And in that small space, we call it, we write there the Holy Ghost. Is that not so? Now, why is it that you write the Holy Ghost and then we people still deny the working of the Holy Ghost in this age? Okay, now, this is what I'm trying to show you. This is the Ephesian church age where Paul preached. Now, if this is the cross, if the cross is here, between the cross and this church age, this is what I'm talking about. There is something here. The working of God here was that it is not the efficient church age that's actually the perfect church. Amen.
Right.
So people keep talking about, we want the return of the efficient church. In the efficient church, the Bible says, he told them, "You have left thy first love." So they had a love. That love was not here, it was here. That's why there was some form of small little sign of darkness. There was some darkness here. It was not all light, true, like this. Amen. So, where did the darkness come from? Why did it come? Because tradition started creeping in. People started reflecting, you know, whatever God does, mankind wants to walk on that. Now, but God wants you to walk with him, step by step, leaving the past, moving forward. Amen. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, but when we allow him to go, and we try to garnish the past, try to hold on to the past, try to arrange the past, then we've left him. And leaving him, you've left the light. Right. Then you'll be in darkness.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So, now if that was true here, the same thing must happen here. After Brother Brown's ministry, it's not that there is another age. Amen. The purpose of this is that God is running and doing his work through the bride. Amen. When he revealed himself in Revelation chapter 1, he was also revealing you. Amen.
Did you see yourself when he was revealing himself?
Right.
He said he was in the midst of the seven candlesticks. So if the candlestick is not there, then the work, what work, where will the work be done? The work is, the God is doing the work right in you. Now if you are not available, then where will the work be done? Where will he exact the energy? Where will he exact the grace? Where will the mercy be poured on? It is because you are there, so in revealing himself, he's also revealing you. Amen. So we found out that at this particular place, we find that he walked there. Amen. And then, what did he do there? He showed forth perfection. Because that's where the original was. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, these people here were to contend for the faith that was here.
Right.
These other people here were to contend for the faith that was here.
Right.
Now, we are not contending for the faith in the Ephesus church.
Right.
That's not the faith we are contending for. But we know that Paul the Apostle, he came to draw the people's attention to Christ.
Right.
And where did Christ walk? He walked here.
Right.
Amen. And then we find out that also, if we must be in the light, we must be careful not to stay here.
Right.
Even Brother Abraham himself, when he was teaching the seven church ages, he was pointing to the believers that it was one church, two groups.
Right.
Now, if it was one church, two groups, then it means that we are no Laodiceans. Amen.
Amen.
We are Christ.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Do you get that? So, if you struggle to be Laodiceans, then you'll be a Abrahamite.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And then you have to go paint his tomb. Have you done that? Make sure you get a brush. Amen. Paint the tomb. Garnish it like the prophets of the Pharisees and the old people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If we were here, we wouldn't have done this. Our fathers were wicked. But what are you doing today? Amen. Mm-hmm. So we find out that the same thing must happen in this particular place. This is the time also that Christ will also walk with the fivefold ministry to bring about perfection. Even Brother Abraham desired it.
Right.
You can't deny that.
Right.
He desired it. Now, but he was a sample. Amen. Because he did most of those things. He sampled it. Amen. Being the age messenger. The messenger of the age. So, but looking at the diagram, again, you must understand that there is only one woman from this place. Just one woman. And then there are seven women, as you can count. Two groups. One is just one woman, growing slimmer as she grows. If we draw this pyramid, amen. The pyramid is very fat at the base, amen. But as it goes up, it's cutting off unwanted flesh. Is that so?
Right.
So one woman growing up, building, Christ being built in that one woman. But just side by side to the pyramid, you find seven women. So we read Isaiah chapter 4. I said I'll be in between because we need to pass a message also to our brothers that are visiting. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. I think this, as barbaric as Africans may be, as you may think about them, we are not, but that's what the West is telling you. Not true. This has not happened yet. We've not seen seven women holding on to one man and asking for marriage. Amen. Has it happened in Singapore? Amen. Now, this actually is not talking about seven women as in seven natural women, literal women. Amen. But we'll get to know what it is.
Then we read another a complementary scripture, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. These two scriptures is one. Amen. So how do we put that together? If you read Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Then you go back to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Also, it says, in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we shall eat our bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There is one thing common between these seven women and the rich man. Two things. The rich man had no name, but he was described by what he wore and what he ate. The seven women, they boasted, kind of. We are able to eat our own food. That's not going to be a problem. We also have the money to change our own apparels. But what we want is your name. So the man that they were trying to hold was Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A type. And these seven women are these seven churches. On the other side, the other women. Praise the Lord. Remember, this we see this as just one woman, but there are also this other group of the seven churches. Amen. Seven other women. Praise the Lord. I hope we get that.
Yes.
Okay, good. So, we find out that they were described by what they ate. The Word of God and what they wore, the Spirit. Every denomination has got its own word. And if you have your own word, then that's not the word of God. That's tradition.
Right.
And by the type of word they have their spirit. Even this morning, if a Presbyterian Christian will walk into the Catholic Church, he will not be comfortable. Because it's two different spirits.
Right.
Amen. But if you are a Christian and you are led by the word of God, wherever you go that this word is preached, you'll be comfortable.
Right.
You will say amen and your spirit will be lifted.
Amen.
So we find out that these two things have run the course also. And it shows the sign of tradition. When they receive their own type of word, any time that the word is mixed with man's idea, God lifts it. It becomes your word. So, what did Lucifer do? Why was he overthrown? Why was he cast out from his abode? Because he tempered with thus saith the Lord. If you allow it to stay as thus saith the Lord, then you are on course. And God can go along with you. And you can go with him. But the moment you twat, you change, you try to temper with it a little, God is reflected by his word. You can only see him in this time by his word. So, he cannot be represented when something is added to his word. Or when something is removed. So, the word must be kept in its original form. And then the spirit will lead. Amen.
Amen.
So, we find out that as they came from this age, those who believe Brother Paul, amongst them, when they said Demas, have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you think that Demas was fornicating or he went drinking? That's not what Paul was talking about. But he thought of a more fashionable way of worshipping. A more, you know, making this thing to be able to be receptive to the important people in the society. If you have to preach the way you must preach, then you mustn't be loved. We want to be loved. We want to be accommodated. Sometimes some of us will feel ashamed when we come amongst other believers that they are talking about Morisolulo, they are talking about Orarobo, they are talking about this, and then you are being quiet. Yes, you should be quiet and you should be proud to be quiet because light is not in those things.
Yes. Amen.
In India, there was this woman that came she came the first day, And the pastor told me, this sister, she's heard the word, but she just saying that she needs to experience the power of God, the power of God, the power of God. And then she claims to have the Holy Ghost. And then I invited her, I said, sister, how are you? And she said, oh, fine. She started speaking in tongues. I said, oh, sister, is that your language? She said, no, pastor, don't you speak in tongues? I said, I do, but not that type. Amen. So she said, I've received the Holy Ghost, I'm baptized. I said, okay. I said, but you know, if you have the Holy Ghost, it will lead you to all truth.
Right.
Then the discussion was cut short because I was going to the pulpit and I preached, and the next day she came with her husband. And she was trying to talk her husband out because the husband believed. Amen. Then I said to her, sister, I have traveled many different lands and seen different people, different culture. But one thing about the Spirit of God is that it doesn't wrestle against itself. Mm. And then if you have, since you wanted the hard way, if you are still claiming you have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to pray with you right now. But if you manifest something rather than, if you manifest something you don't want to manifest, then you know the kind of spirit that is leading you. And I said to her, give me your hand. And she did. And I just thanked the Lord. Just only thanking the Lord. And there she goes. She was just doing like a serpent. Just like this. I said, is this the Holy Ghost? It can't be. You have received the spirit that is influencing your preacher. Amen. Because all these people, as wherever they have received a certain spirit, and that spirit is putting them in bondage. And that is the spirit that screws them to the chair of their church, that they cannot accept the word of God.
Right.
Amen. The same thing is happening, but in this last day, it is worse on those that have received the message of the hour. Because the message of the hour has exposed them to knowledge. And you must be careful. When somebody knows, he becomes proud.
Right.
And that spirit of pride will not allow him to consider if really he is still on track. That's why Paul said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you can keep thinking. You can keep thinking and you don't know that you've lost it. But listen, Mary and Joseph, they went up a whole day and Jesus was not with them. They were only assuming. Now, a mother and her son, what was the boy eating? Did he change his clothes? And the woman will not know. She was just there, talking, going along, thinking that the child was with her in the company. And after walking that long, only to discover that they've left him behind. And then, you can't go without him. There's never a provision for man to go without God. You have to go back and find him where you lost him.
Right.
Amen. You must go back. That is why you must be careful. Sometimes, as in this faith, as you are going up, you get discouragement. Yes, the discouragement is good for you. It's a sign that you are in the right place. You get annoyed. You get choked by something. I was telling some people, you know, sometimes we have this experience that some little things will happen and someone will just leave the church. Let me tell you, if I'm here, I can't leave the church for again. Instead, I'll push him out. We're in a family. Amen. And if we're in a family, you can't push me out of my family. So if there's a way, I'll push you out. It's my father's family also, and I belong here, and I belong to the world. I must do everything to stay right in the world.
Right.
So that's where we must have tolerance. That's where we must try to consider one another. We must understand that we are no angels, but we will judge angels.
Right.
Amen. So we find out that this line came up this way. If I'll continue on that, so that we don't break the course. Now, this rich man, you discover that he had no name. Now, any man that has not got a name with God before the beginning of the world began can never have a name here. Amen. The Bible says that we are the whole family of heaven and earth is named after Christ.
Right.
Amen. So that's our surname. So he had no name, and Lazarus was just at his gate. Now, when they say Lazarus was at his gate, we don't need to always interpret these things literally. Maybe he was just sitting down at his gate there. Because we find a similar story again. Jesus went up to Jerusalem in John chapter 5. If you can open the Bible. John chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Some translation reads the sheep gate. Amen. A pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had infirmity 38 years. Amen. Now, we see another case of tradition. Men trying to form tradition out of God's dealing. Now, this angel at a certain time will move into the water and shake the water. And whosoever was first to step in was made whole. So, the preachers around, some shepherds around just came up and organized and turned into a business venture. So you can now register and bring your sick person there. The highest bidder gets it. If you can pay $1,000 and somebody pays $1,050, you are in trouble. That pay you in, who paid $1,000 is in trouble, because when the water shakes, they push him right in first. Amen. Now, look at this. We have to understand. It says that there was this place, it's called the sheep market. Now, mine is written in italics, kind of. Now, but let us think about this. Should a shepherd take his sheep to the market? No. There's no... In the real world where you have shepherds, they don't take their sheep to the market. If you want the sheep, you go to where they are grazing. And then you point. And then he will select them and fetch that one for you. Praise the Lord. Now, but these shepherds, they took the sheep to the market. It's happening here in Singapore, I'm going to tell you. When sons and daughters of God have missed their way and are trapped by people who are businessmen on the pulpit, then you are in the sheep market.
Right.
Now, the sheep is supposed to be led by the voice of the shepherd. The sheep does not know the shepherd by face, but the sheep knows the shepherd by voice.
Right.
The sheep hears his voice and follow. If it does not hear the voice, the voice of a stranger, it will not hear, follow, because it does not know the voice.
Right.
So it is the voice that the sheep knows. Amen. Yeah. So now, but if truly these people are businessmen, it means that for them to get the sheep to the market, they have to tie the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they tie the sheep with a cord, and they pull the sheep against its will, and they draw to the market. When they get to the market, they just tie them in a place. Now, tying them there, they get some dry, whatever, leaves for them to eat. That's not good food. That's not green pasture. They get dirty water or any water at all for them to drink. That's not still water. That's not good enough. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out that these are Christians, believers, trapped in certain condition, under denominations, or yet still, better still, some of this end time message group, trapped there where they cannot eat the living word, where they cannot drink the living water, where they cannot have the pure water. They are drinking a stagnant water of their traditional minds.
Right.
So, Jesus, when he came, as the manner of God is, there is no darkness in him at all. There is no tradition in God. When he said there is no darkness in him at all, there is no tradition. When he came to do two things on that faithful day. One, to prove that he was the angel that used to, that Christ was the angel that used to shake the water.
Yes.
Now, remember, when this angel came to shake the water, after the shaking of the water, how many people were healed? How many persons? One. At any time, it was one person. Now, Jesus came on this way 2 days. He crossed lakes, passed this place, jumped, walked, and was searching. And he looked for somebody that knew the history very well. And it was a man that had been there for 38 years. So, if the man had been there for 38 years, the water only shook for 8 years during his stay. Amen? For the past 30 years, there had been no sign. Because immediately at the birth of Jesus Christ, all appearances of the Theophany ceased. Amen. So, he looked at him. Would you want to be made whole? And then the man told him the story. You see, our pastors, it's not really easy to become a deacon in the church because I don't have a fat account. No. Do you want to be made whole? I don't have enough quotes to support this healing thing. And so because of that, I'm not really sure whether Brother Abraham supported it. That's not the question. Do you want to be made whole? It's now. The living word just in presence of you. In your, just right there. And he lifted him up. Alone, the only person. Now what did he do? When Jesus healed that one person, he closed down that ministry. The water never shook again. And there was no need for you to leave your sick folk there. Because wherever he went, he was doing good. Wherever he went, he was healing people. He was doing the same thing. Amen. So, we find out that they took the sheep to the market and subjected this sheep to malnutrition. There are a lot of people today that are misfed. They are undernourished because they are not in the way. They are not in the light. So as long as you are not sourcing from God, you are sourcing from the devil. There are no two ways about it. There is nothing like half-truth. Half-truth is a lie. And the lie cannot come from God. It is from the devil. Amen. Amen. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes. Respond because I like the voice. So, to just bring it home this morning, especially because of other people that are here, God have been doing, he has been doing, drawing a straight line from the time of Adam to our day. If you stand in the vision that I got of the Lord, you know, I was a Pentecostal elected bishop. Just very close. Each time I drive to the church, when I get to a certain bus stop, I turn right because there I built a 1,500 man seater church. I look at the edifice and look at the kind of time I wasted and the money and whatever. And the people that are stuck there. And in fact, today, a lot of people from there, some of them have been out, and I have a few of them in the church where we fellowship. And when I look at it, I just give glory to God because it is not easy. It is easy for somebody that's just a Christian fellowshipping in the church to hear the truth and get out. But when once you are involved at that level, it is not an easy thing. So, there is this testimony, I've told Brother Gan about it, but maybe you have not heard about it. One day, in 2002, I was in Cameroon. And I've just believed this truth around 1997, but I could not hold still because the family influence, my uncle wanted us to have this episcopal empire. So he was the big bishop, and I was the next one coming, and then we'd just be preparing. I would have been preparing my son now, you know, take over wherever, just like that. And as it was running this like this, I found out that in 2002, I went out to preach. And I was really preaching the word because I went with some of the Abraham's book and I gave to people and I was preaching what I've discovered and it was really good. And then in 2003, I was asked to come back. Then the church sensed that I was getting away, and then they tried to cushion me with some responsibilities. Oh, you need, that's when they said, oh, you need to complete your church, so stay around. And then we had these sponsors from America, they were coming, and then we had a lot of people there. They were doing everything. They built the church, very massive building, and he wanted to keep me stopped. Then a pastor came to my office one day. He said, Brother Nice, were you able to go to Cameroon as you said? I said, no. I said, what happened? I said, oh, can't you see that the church building is almost ready? That's what I was doing. And he said to me, you are treading on dangerous ground. A few weeks after then, some young men came from Cameroon, two of them. And they received this message of the Lord that they should not come to my house. They stayed in the church and they asked me to come. And they said that they received this message while in Cameroon, that when they come to me, they should just tell me this thing, that I should leave whatever I'm doing and attend to the work of God. And then I looked at them and said, you are small boys. What do you know? Are you telling me that I'm not doing the work of God here? Look at this building. Do you know what it costs? If God ever wanted to be here, how will I have the money to build it? So I left them in the church and I drove home. Getting home, my wife was crying and making so much noise. What's the problem? She said, did you go out with your daughter? Do anything, don't touch my daughter. Because I had a terrible accident while in school, and the doctor told me you'll never be able to have a child. So when I had that child, a lot of my friends were coming in to really look. Say, did God do this? And that girl is just, she look at her, you see me. And then I said, look, woman, don't temper whatever you are trying to play with. Don't play with that girl. Where is she? Do you know, I picked the key of the well. We dug this a borehole, a big well. I went and I was the one that opened the well, and I started shouting, Navila! Navila! Then my wife said, how can you open the, how will she have fallen into the well and then lock it back? Then I came back. Locked it. I was just confused. Then we searched everywhere. And then I was in the wardrobe. I searched the wardrobe in her room, searched the wardrobe in my room. She was nowhere to be found. And when my wife was just there, she was just praying. And then she said to me, she called me, she heard a voice. Then the Lord said to her, tell your husband to do what he's been told, or I will take away the thing that he loves so much. Then she didn't tell me, God says, she tore my clothes. Come on! Look, do whatever he wants you. That's why I can be away from home for 2 months. She won't complain. Because she has experienced something. Do whatever God wants you to do and let us be at peace. That's what she said. And not quite long, my daughter came out. Where were you? Daddy, the tall uncle, very tall man. We were going, oh. The moment she said that, I was afraid to stay in the house. I said, look, we moved to the church. We just live in the church. So I put them in the car, picked some few clothes, and then I drove away. They didn't even close the gate. We went to the church. And then the Cameroon brothers were still there. Do you know, by the time we got to the church, they were discussing this very thing among themselves with other brethren. And we stayed in the church there. It was during December time. We went into an emergency fasting and prayers. I couldn't do anything. I was just there. And from there, I didn't even have a passport again because they've stolen the first passport. I got a passport in that church, not going home. Whatever I had on me was what I took, and I went to Cameroon again. Amen. I went there to preach.
Amen.
And what happened? In that vision, I saw Brother Branham. He stood just where I was sleeping, just where my head was, and he said to me, arise, get out of this cage, fly east. He did his hand this way. And you might think it's funny. I've never been to Ghana. It's very close to Nigeria, on the western side. I've tried many times reaching the border. Either I got the last time I wanted to go to Ghana, I got before the last time before you were asking me to visit the border, I went to the border. When they said present your passport, only for me to remember that my passport, I left it somewhere. What was I thinking? I've never been able to go this other way. So then somehow the heat came up. Immediately I left the denomination, they started pushing me, they were fighting started. They asked me, okay, come to the convention and explain yourself. I was just talking to them at the convention and getting out there, two bullets came, pip, pip. I was shot. By who, I don't know. But I just saw that very serious heat passed here. And then somebody told me to get away because they were planning something bad. So I was in Kenya, in India, then I came to Singapore. Praise the Lord. And again, after that, in 2006, I saw another vision. 3 years after, or 2 years after, I saw another vision of the same person, Brother Branham. This time, I was very thirsty, and I needed to drink water just there. Now, the things that happen in the spirit are so real, even more than it is in the flesh. Amen. Because God deals with us more in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, I was there, I was very thirsty, and I needed to drink water. Then I saw Brother Gary. He was holding this, we have this kind of plate, you know, aluminum plate. It looks like a pan. And he offered it to me. A lot of things crossed my mind. I said, no, can't take it from you. I know what they're saying about you back home. Then immediately I was doing that contemplating. I didn't say it outside. I was just, it was an in thing. Then the same vision I had, Rabran was standing out there. And then he points to me continuity. The water was crystal clear and clean. And then I could see behind him the messengers in their order. It didn't stop just at Paul. I could see the line straight as if to, so it was not very clear, but as if it was to Adam. It's a straight line. So now, today, if you find yourself as in a denomination, you should ask yourself, why is that denomination different from the church next door? You ask yourself why the one next door is different from the other one just across the road. Now, in all of this, God is not there. You are only warming or painting fires. It's not real. God is in His Word. And He will send His Word to the prophets and to the apostles. Praise the Lord. Now, in this day, God has done something to us in this last day. He sent the prophet to point us back to God. And God is the Word.
Amen.
And having pointed this Word to us, we must receive it and go where it will lead us. We must not be stagnant. We must not stay put. We must believe. And this is just on the dynamic side. We must not leave the mechanics. We must also know that if we believe the Word of God, we should not just stay as believers. We should become it. Seen situations where people around you don't know that you are Christian. They can't. You don't benefit them. Amen. We should benefit our society. Listen, Jesus came. The healings was an attraction for people to hear the Word of God.
Right.
Not all those that were healed believed.
Mm-hmm.
Not all those that were raised from death followed Him. Maybe some even stoned Him at the end of the day.
Mm.
But like I found myself in India, and I saw this Hindu woman. What will she understand if I tell her? She does not speak English, and she was just doing her head this way, doing her head this way. And I said to her, what's the problem? They were interpreting. If I start preaching, it would take so much time. And I turned around, I looked at the girl. This girl had been demon possessed, and she'll be dropping as in epileptic spirit. Many years, about 9 years. And I looked at her, and the Spirit of the Lord moved me. And I went there and I touched her, and that spirit came out of her. Amen.
Amen.
That is it. You must know that if the Word of God is in you, it must do things that are unusual.
Amen.
So that was the language she could understand. Immediately she saw that, she knelt down and lifted up her hands in the air, and she was crying. On the next Sunday, she was baptized. That's a non-gospel. But to us here, we need to refresh ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves. When David came back to Ziklag and heard that they've stolen everything, they've ambushed, they've burnt, crying is not the solution. He stood by, and the Bible says, and the David encouraged himself in the Lord. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord. You cannot have somebody who will come to visit you and say, oh, Brother Cathy, I just came to make you happy. Have you got such a guest before? The person left his home. He said, "Oh, Brakati, where are you? I'm coming over. Wait." And then when he goes, "What is it there? I just came to make you happy." "Well, I have news for you. Happiness is a guest. It comes and it will go. But if you have joy of the Holy Ghost, amen, it's right inside of you.
Amen.
It will be refreshing all the time.
Amen.
So in every situation, you can ride over it. You can soar over it because you've got the joy of God in you.
Amen.
You make it come alive. You pump it up. It comes by the word of God. Remember where you are coming from. Any man who does not remember where he's coming from cannot get to where he's going to.
Yeah.
If you think you are coming from the south and you are going north and you don't know that your back is, you'll be finding yourself in the west. So you must encourage yourself in the Lord. You must remember who you are, that God, before the foundation of the world was, before and ever anything was, God thought about an age. God thought about seven church ages. When he thought about these seven church ages, he thought about this small life. The small life of people here are those that will walk up to see what this ministry will be like. Not the bunch of people in darkness. So when he thought about them, he thought all these things, and then he thought about you, and he put you there, and he gave you the grace to believe the present truth. If he had done that, oh brother, what joy is more than that? It's something that when darkness comes your way, when annoyance and pain, when sorrow comes, when confusion comes, when you become bored, you just lift up your eyes and remember that there was a time that there was nothing in the world, but there was only the Spirit of the eternal God. And he thought about the world. He thought about creation. He thought about mankind. Then he thought about you.
Yes.
And he put you in the best place.
Amen.
Paul said, without us, they cannot be made perfect.
Right.
That's the Spirit. He put you where perfection will be manifested.
Mm-hmm.
He put you. Without that perfection, it will be... I got a revelation once. I was asking a brother, a preacher in this message. I asked him, I said, "Brother, have you read the preview that Brother Abraham had when he went beyond the curtain of time?" And I asked him, "Why didn't he see Paul?" "You say that the seven thunders have been revealed. I tell you, without that ministry that is coming, which it is the perfection that will lead to that, without that, all saints of all ages, when they die, they are not gathered, they are just there, amen, in their own order. But when the resurrection, when the seven thunders voice is being made manifest to us, and then it affects that, those that have been asleep, when they come up, that's when the gathering will be. That's when, that's why that gathering is important. That's when Paul will see Brother Abraham and they will see one another."
Amen.
"And we will see them. But for now, you cannot go in the eternity and see Paul. You only see the people of your group." Amen.
Amen.
So, it is important that we are in this bridge time. It is important to know that you have so much load to carry. You are carrying a load of all generations. You are carrying a task to be perfect. You are carrying a task to hear the word that God said the Lord of this hour. You are carrying a task to stand in the revealed truth. Then you mustn't be discouraged. You must remember that Paul is sleeping right there. All these men, they are waiting right there. And if you are the last runner in the race, you don't have to drop the baton.
Right.
The relay race. The first man started. It's always four. Why is it four? Because there are four spirits running this issue. This age.
Mm-hmm.
The lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle. Four spirits. So, the first man started and gave the baton. This one collected it. He was taken first. He ran so fast, he gave a big gap and gave the baton to the third man. And this third man put the pressure and he did so well. Gave the last man, which is you. And as you were coming, you just thought about it.
Amen.
"But why are things going this way? Why are we not like others? Why is the church like this?" The devil is a complainer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for a co-complainant.
Right.
Don't be one. In the course of doing this, instead of you keeping your head up, he depresses you and you come down this way. All those that you have passed, they keep passing you. Does it really matter what these people did in the first place?
they cannot go, oh, but you umpire, Mr. Umpire, Mr. Referee, don't you see that we were taking first, and this man took first also, and this other man took first, but when it came to Brother Nice, and he decided, give us the prize, they won't take the prize. Mm-hmm. That prize, amen, depends on how you finish.
Right.
I have determined in my spirit to finish well. I don't know about you. You can say this morning that you have determined in your spirit to finish well. God is not looking at your conditions. He's not looking at how gifted you are not. He's not looking at how weak you are not or you are. But he's looking at what he has made you to be. There is a position. Sonship is a position. If we understand what sonship really is, then we'll keep our heads up and be joyful, knowing that God has made us special people. Whatever thing is troubling you, know that you have a solution in the work. When we pray, we are taking back the word of God to God. And he speaks to us by his word, by the preaching of the word. We speak to him in prayers. When we pray, believe. You all have money in the bank. Now, if you have money in the bank, why are you in church this morning? If I have money in the bank, I won't be in church this morning. I will go with my kitchen knife, my wife's kitchen knife, and stand at the door of the bank, like this. And you see me say, Brother Nice, what are you doing there? My money is here. Amen. Brother Nice, why? My money is here. I need to watch. Now, even though robbers will come and break the bank, if they finish all the money in the bank, it's not your money. You go to the bank the next morning, they have to find a way to pay you. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Now, why do we pray to him that is above all? And then we still want to ask him, God, are you sure you've got enough fuel to run the errand? Don't doubt.
Right.
Even this morning, I want to pray a prayer of faith. Whatever your depression is, whatever the confusion is, whatever the enemy has burdened you with, if you believe this morning, you will experience the power of God.
Amen.
I just want us to rise. Before I hand over the pulpit, I would like to pray. Yes, ma'am. If you don't mind, we just sing this song. In the cross. In the cross. Be my glory. Ever. You know the song?
Yes.
And as that song will be going on, playing that song, brothers, I want you to meditate on this light. You are the light bearer. When Lucifer was stripped of his position, it was given to you. And that's why he's doing everything to discourage you. You are the one carrying the door, says the Lord now. You are the one bearing the light. Don't think that the devil is going to smile at you. You are taking what was his. And he wants to destroy you. But we have a sure word of prophecy. I will be with you. Even to the end of the age. Shall we just sing this song?
Jesus came Yeah.
be the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, Jesus. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Will you at this moment, Jesus, if there is any weakness,
Hallelujah.
There is any sorrow, there is any pain,
Hallelujah. One food.
Just lift up your hands to the Lord.
One food, Jesus. Hallelujah.
The Bible says,
blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, or
zero. Hallelujah.
Jesus. He knows our plans.
Touch your heart, Father.
Yes.
Touch the Lord, Lord Jesus.
Listen to him.
Glory Jesus.
Listen to him. It's not by power.
Hallelujah.
It's not by might, but by his spirit.
Amen.
We are just witnesses. Hallelujah. We are just witnesses. We have nothing to contribute. We are just witnesses.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lift him up with your hand. It's a sign that you accept it.
Oh, glory. Blessed be the Holy Spirit.
Lift him up with your hand. It's a sign.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you're saying yes to it.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
I bring your people before you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord,
glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We bless you this morning for giving us the grace to be in your presence.
Amen.
For many desire to be in your presence, but they are not able to be led to the right place.
Glory.
But to these ones that you have chosen,
Hallelujah.
In these last days,
Hallelujah.
Lord,
Glory.
I lift them before you, O Father.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Whatever is not planted by you this morning in their lives,
yes, Lord.
Whatever the enemy has done to slow them down in the race of light, I command the power of the Holy Ghost to break the yoke of Satan.
Yes.
And set loose,
amen,
sons and daughters of God from the bondage,
Hallelujah.
Of pain and sorrow and depression,
amen,
confusion and lust.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray for healing in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That their blood,
Lord, hallelujah,
their bodies, Lord, will receive the touch of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is the time that Christ is talking to his church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we must become that which we preach.
Hallelujah.
We've told people out there that you are good.
Glory, glory.
Lord, we are not testing you, for we know indeed that you are good. You are our healer. You are our savior. You are our helper.
Wonderful.
We look up to you this moment and ask the grace to be in the middle of the road, which is the light word of God. Father, Lord, deliver your people, for you say you will send that word of God to take away sicknesses and deliverance from every destruction. Let it be the portion of your children this morning.
Hallelujah.
We pray for our children, Lord. As the children in Singapore are turning to the enemy, Lord, we pray that your presence,
Amen,
will keep our children.
Amen.
And no shame will come to us because of our children.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Whichever of them is going wayward, I command right now in the name of Jesus, come back.
Oh, yes.
I take you back in the name of Jesus,
Amen,
to the glory of God. Lord, I pray that your peace will be in this assembly.
Amen.
And that, Lord, we will be good ambassadors of your kingdom.
Amen.
Lord, because we have experienced discouragement,
Let your children receive the anointing this
Amen.
Moment
Amen.
To encourage discouraged people.
Amen.
May we be healing to others.
Hallelujah.
May we be deliverers to others.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your grace.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Kongsa paoki no haka gohoma se eka hapa konsot kedi mene teri porsune ka iyo konu muki eka shonti eka ma onko be thou comforted my children say the Lord be thou comforted for if I have studied the word in thee my people, I shall surely finish it. Say the Lord thy God.